Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your weekly prescription for happier, healthier homeschool living. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mother of six.
Hey, homeschoolers. This is an unusual podcast episode for me. I normally don't address current events or controversial issues, but news of the torture, captivity, and severe abuse and neglect of the Turpins' homeschooled children is prompting me to speak out. I don't have answers for how to prevent every case of child abuse, unfortunately, but I do have information that I think must inform our discussion about the issue and even prompt our action. We will get to that in just a few minutes. But for now, I would love for you to review this podcast. On your iPhone, go to the Homeschool Sanity Show in your podcast app. Scroll down to the bottom, and you'll be able to rate the show and comment. I will leave instructions for reviewing without an iPhone in the show notes. Thank you in advance for reviewing this podcast and making it more likely for other homeschoolers like you to find homeschool sanity. The teaching tip of the week is using Instagram to find homeschooling books and curriculum that will bless your homeschool. Did you know that you can get great curriculum reviews on Instagram? I frequently get book recommendations from the images, and I love watching the live stories. You can comment with any questions you have for the Instagrammer. If you would like to follow me at PsychoWith6 or Grammar Galaxy Books, I would love to follow you back. But I would also love for you to follow Homeschool Scopes. For the month of February, our group will have a real homeschooling Instagram challenge that could not only give you great book tips, but inspiration for your homeschooling life. We would love to have you participate. To see a list of the challenges, you can check out the show notes for this episode at homeschoolsanity.com/childabuse, or just follow Homeschool Scopes on Instagram to find the image with all of the challenges listed. Now for this week's topic, my take on the Turpin case, or child abuse and homeschooling. No doubt you've heard some of the horrifying details about the Turpin family in California. This mother and father of 13 children, ranging in age from 29 to 2, are accused of starving, abusing, and holding them captive in deplorable conditions. Honestly, the case has given me nightmares. I want to say, in no uncertain terms, that I am mortified that their registration as a homeschooling family may have been used to allow them to continue abusing their minor and adult children. I am praying for the children and also praying that we can prevent the abuse of more than 600,000 children in the U.S. alone. I want to share my background with you before I launch into the topic. I am a clinical psychologist. As a mandated reporter of abuse, I am familiar with the definition and signs of abuse. What I am also familiar with, in this case, is how to evaluate research and statistics. I have the added experience of having homeschooled my children for 19 years. An estimated 3% of school-aged children are being homeschooled in the United States for a total of about 2 million students. These are not exact numbers because not all homeschoolers are required to register themselves as such. In the LA Times, Rachel Coleman and Catherine Brightbill wrote that the Turpin case is indicative of a widespread problem of abuse in homeschooling families. They list several examples of not just abuse, but torture by families who claimed to be homeschooling. Ms. Coleman and Brightbill, as staff members for the website responsiblehomeschooling.org, are privy to a database they have created of examples of severe child abuse occurring in families who, again, claim to be homeschooling. They admit that they have no statistically significant data that suggests homeschooling families abuse children at higher rates than non-homeschooling families. However, I understand their perception that the problem is widespread. The details of these cases are disturbing and heartrending. It's their passion to protect these children that fuels their mission. Even one incidence of this type of severe abuse of a homeschooled child feels like too many. That being said, I still object to their use of the phrase widespread problem. It implies that it's commonplace for homeschoolers to torture their children when there's no evidence of that. To protect homeschooled children from potential abuse, Coleman and Brightbill argue that states should require academic assessments and medical exams. They insist that lack of contact with mandated reporters is what creates the possibility for families like the Turpins to torture and severely abuse. When considering their recommendation, these are the concerns I have. First, would this increased supervision of all homeschooling families prevent child abuse? I recently read a description of one of the Turpins' daughters attending school in the third grade. The filth of her clothes, the body odor she had, and her use of a candy bar wrapper as a hairband suggest that she was being neglected at the very least while attending school. Details are emerging, but I have read nothing which suggests the Turpins were previously investigated for child abuse while at least one of their children was in school. The LA Times further reports that none of the children had seen a doctor in 4 years. Were any of the children seen by a physician 4 years ago and yet not reported as being victims of abuse? My point is that mandated testing and physicals may not have protected the Turpins and may not protect other children. Couldn't these families also move as the Turpins did and avoid any mandatory evaluations? I can imagine Coleman and Brightbill arguing that if more cases of child abuse were reported, their suggested legal requirements are worth it. But is that true? In 2012, 30 states reported that 8.5% of child abuse fatalities occurred in families who had received family services. These are child deaths and not data on continuing abuse. We can imagine continued abuse in reported families occurs frequently. There is no guarantee that had the Turpins been reported, that their children would have been protected. That's especially true given the current state of the foster care system. Caseworkers are typically overwhelmed by the number of children under their supervision. There is also alarming evidence of high rates of child abuse within foster care homes. The stress of being removed from one's home can further traumatize a child. The Turpin children and others subject to severe abuse have to be removed for their own safety, regardless of the added challenge of adjusting to a new home and potentially being separated from some siblings. But it's important to understand that removing children from an abusive home doesn't always have a happy ending. I don't think we have an answer to the question of whether increased supervision of all homeschooling families would prevent child abuse. My second question is whether the potential benefit of required supervision offsets the infringement of all homeschooling families' rights. It's possible that mandated testing and medical exams could create a new category of victims. Children inappropriately forced to attend public school or removed from their homes and put into a foster care system that could truly victimize them. What if a homeschooled child has special needs and is actually doing well in a homeschool setting, but doesn't test at an average or above level on standardized tests? Will these children be required to enroll in public school? If so, will they be released to their homes if their scores decline? I think we know the answer to that. Will the same policy be applied to private school students who aren't scoring as well as the government deems acceptable? If not, why not? There are many small private schools where educational neglect could be hidden. The Atlantic reports, since 2008, the number of referrals to Child Protective Services agencies has increased by 8.3%, even as overall rates of actual child victimization declined by 3.3% during the same period. There is no system that can totally avoid putting parents who don't deserve it through investigations, despite the fact that even the best moms and dads would regard the ordeal as nightmarish. Over time, however, the number of undeserving parents so burdened seems to be increasing, and the number is large. There are a number of horror stories about parents apparently innocent of abuse having their children taken from them without cause. Do we want to put the parents of 2 million homeschooled children through an evaluative process every year to make them prove that they are not abusing their children? Will we also do the same to parents of all young children being reared at home? The highest rate of child abuse is among infants, with over 1/4 of abused children being under age 3. If this would be a requirement of homeschoolers only, what justification is there for that? The biggest risk factors for child abuse are alcohol and drug abuse and domestic violence. These risk factors are not correlated with homeschooling. And who would evaluate homeschooling parents? Might they be anti-homeschooling or of the opinion that a religious upbringing or conservative political views constitute abuse in and of themselves? Such opinions are not rare. In fact, a fundamental belief of all homeschoolers is that their children are theirs to raise and not the state's. Wouldn't mandated supervision suggest that we have to qualify as homeschoolers to raise the state's children? I'm concerned about legally required oversight of homeschoolers, and I don't think my concerns are unfounded. The third issue I want to discuss with respect to child abuse and homeschooling is children's safety at school. The assumption of Coleman and Brightbill appears to be that homeschooled children have a better chance of avoiding abuse if they can be exposed to mandated reporters of abuse, teachers being one class of them. I understand this view. Parents who torture their children want to isolate them. Teachers could recognize signs of abuse and neglect and could contact Child Protective Services. But does the risk of the school environment offset this potential benefit? More than 1 out of every 5 school children is bullied. In fact, the Turpin girl was reportedly bullied in 3rd grade. we are all familiar with high-profile cases of bullied students committing suicide and even responding to their bullying by shooting their fellow students at school. As I speak, there have been 11 school shootings in the U.S. in the last 3.5 weeks. One might even refer to it as a widespread problem. Bullying and school shootings aren't the only abuse school kids are subject to. A frightening 1 in 10 students has been the victim of sexual abuse at the hands of school personnel. Using the rationale of Coleman and Brightbill, we ought to require mental health evaluations of all students and staff to prevent this type of abuse. I haven't heard any calls for this kind of monitoring, however. How I think we should respond to the Turpin case and child abuse. I don't want any child to be abused or bullied. Like Coleman and Brightbill, I want to protect children. I believe they are precious to Jesus. The challenge is how to do that without victimizing even more people. These are some steps I feel confident in advocating. Get to know at-risk families and extend kindness to them. Experts tell us that most child abuse is neglect, and neglect is highly associated with low income. Many families don't have the education they need to parent effectively. They also don't know the resources available to them. A mom has no idea where to get affordable childcare, so she leaves her 9-year-old in the park near her workplace. You can offer encouragement and help in talking with neighbors, or you can serve at-risk families through a ministry. In my area, Nurses for Newborns provides education and baby supplies during home visits that have been shown to be very effective in preventing abuse. Support organizations like this in your area with your time and money. If you believe a child is in danger, make a report to Child Protective Services. You will not be held responsible if your report is determined to be unfounded. Professionals like psychologists are mandated reporters, but we should all consider ourselves mandated reporters when a child is at risk of serious harm. Get to know your neighbors as a homeschooler. In the aftermath of the Turpin case, people who don't know us well may be suspicious of homeschoolers who are very private. If you are a Christian, as I am, you are to be serving your neighbors anyway. People need to see that our kids are healthy and well-adjusted. Talk about what you're doing in your homeschool. Many still don't understand that most homeschoolers have a great deal of social contact through various activities and classes. We want to advocate for homeschooling instead of living in fear of being reported for doing so. Joining HSLDA is a good step to protect yourself from unwarranted reports of neglect. You can relax and be open about your family's educational choice. Get help. If you are having trouble disciplining your children without being harsh, or your mental or physical health is keeping you from educating your children the way you know you should, reach out for help. Yes, you may have to make a different educational choice while you are getting help, but it's worth the sacrifice for your kids' sake. There are many options available to you, and it doesn't mean you can't resume homeschooling in the future. A potential legal change to consider. Coleman and Brightbill report that some abusive parents remove their children from school to quote-unquote homeschool them. The result, according to victims' reports, is intensified abuse. This is likely the case for the Turpins. Abusive parents realize they can avoid detection by claiming to homeschool. Coleman and Brightbill argue that parents who have been reported for child abuse should have to be evaluated when they choose to homeschool. These abusive parents often are not homeschooling, but they claim to be, creating an association with homeschoolers that is a problem for genuine, caring homeschooling parents. While I can see the potential for a teacher making an unfounded report of abuse that then makes homeschooling onerous for a good family, I believe the benefits for children and even the homeschool community may outweigh that risk. What's your response to the Turpin case? Comment at homeschoolsanity.com/child abuse, which is also where you can find all the links mentioned in this episode. This has been a heavy topic, for sure, but I still wish you a happy homeschool week.
Thank you for joining me for the Homeschool Sanity Show. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.